Well, I was away yesterday and most of this morning until this afternoon at a wedding, so I have not yet been to the Fall Festival, but I will be going, just in case any of you ask. I'm sorry that I have failed the parish thus far, but I will rectify that this evening. Yeah, today's readings, this Sunday's readings, they're very straightforward. And it's always a timely reflection to talk about forgiveness. Jesus is an absolute master of human psychology. He knows how he made us, and he knows exactly what happens when in life we forgive and when we don't forgive. And he puts the situation to us in a parable from both perspectives, from the perspective of the situation when we refuse to receive forgiveness, and likewise when we refuse to provide forgiveness, when we refuse to give the forgiveness that another asks of us. And we find out in the story how much unforgiveness is really just a non-value added choice in life. Adds no value to retain unforgiveness. And Jesus says, here's why. And this is as much to me as it is to all of us. So I'm not trying to say you people. I should never say that. You people. I'm saying it to me as well. This is for every Christian. Because we all struggle with this road. And Jesus says, when the king settled the account with his servants, and the servant came before him who owed him a debt that he could not repay, the king ordered that the servant be sold along with his wife and children and all his property in payment of the debt. One of the first things that happens when we refuse to receive forgiveness is that other people in our lives are implicated in our decision, whether they want it to be or not. The wife and the children, they didn't owe the debt. The servant owed the debt. But the wife and the children paid for it, unjustly, you might say. And so this is the first sticking point of unforgiveness. So it is in that moment that the servant says, but please, offer me forgiveness. And because he went to the king and asked the king for the forgiveness, in effect, the wife and the children go scot-free in a way that they would not have done had he remained obstinate. And so this is one of the first frustrations of our lives. If we're ever in a place where we are refusing to receive forgiveness, well, why would someone do that? That's kind of a stupid thing. Why would we refuse to receive forgiveness? I would say for one basic reason, most of the time. Most of the time, the reason that we refuse to receive forgiveness is because we refuse to admit that we're in debt. We don't think we owe anything. And when we don't think we owe anything, of course, we're not going to ask for forgiveness of what we owe. And of course, for me and for you and for all of us, that's an act of pride. But when we make that decision in our life, that act of pride, that decision that I make has an effect beyond me. And the first place that that has an effect is in the relationships with the people that I love most. If I decide to live a life of pride, then it's the people that I love that suffer, whether I would choose that or not. And Jesus makes that clear through the parable. And Jesus says, but there is another sort of a flip side to this as well. As he continues that story of the servant who refused to give the forgiveness. I mean, let's just walk through the sentence and realize how unsmart of a choice that is. Because the servant goes to his fellow servant and he says, pay back what you owe. And the fellow servant says, be patient with me. And the first one said, no, I will not be patient. And so he had the fellow servant put in prison until he paid back the debt. Now, I don't know about you guys, but if the fellow servant was in prison, do you think that he's ever going to be able to repay the debt? I mean, what a dumb decision to make. I want you to pay back what you owe. I'm going to throw you in prison until you do it. Don't think you're ever going to get your money back. Because it's impossible. It's impossible for the fellow servant to repay because he's not able to have his own livelihood. And so Jesus says to you and to me, this is the first effect in our lives when we refuse somebody forgiveness. When we refuse somebody forgiveness, we bind them to us in such a way that they can never rectify the situation. We bind them to us in such a way that they're never going to be able to make it right. When we refuse forgiveness, because no matter how much they try, we won't accept it. And we're always going to be angry. And so Jesus says, what is the answer? Well, it's the hard thing. It's the forgiveness of the debt. But if we don't forgive those who seek the forgiveness from us, if we withhold that, nothing they ever do is going to satisfy us. It's never going to make us happy. Because there's something much different that will free us. And it's the very choice that Jesus made with you and with me. When Jesus said, you have a debt that you can never repay, and so I forgive you the debt. And so you are to do likewise. The great thing about forgiveness is that it empowers us. Forgiveness empowers us. Forgiveness empowers us because it's the very thing that allows us to see the situation as it truly is. When we refuse forgiveness, we're blinded by frustration and we're blinded by anger. And so we're never going to be able to read correctly what's truly needed. When we forgive, we are released from those emotions that have control over us. And then we can actually make a decision that's truly healthy. And sometimes that decision is the relationship can be saved. And sometimes that clarity is the relationship can't be saved. And so just because we forgive someone, of course it doesn't mean that what they did was right, and it doesn't mean that we allow ourselves to be walked over, but what it does empower us to do is to know what is true charity proclaim in the situation. What does charity allow me to do? Does it allow me to restore what was broken, or does it give me the wisdom to say, this relationship can't continue because the other person has made the decision that it's not going to continue? I'm never able to get to that place of free decision if I don't first make the brave choice to do what he did, to get up on my cross and humble myself to say, what you did was wrong, and I release you from it. And Jesus says, when you release someone with the forgiveness, you're probably going to have to do it 77 times. Because it happens once, and it's true, and it's real, but that doesn't always mean that the anger is over, and it doesn't always mean that the frustration is over, and it probably certainly doesn't mean that the situation is over. Maybe the situation has not changed a bit. But for you and for me, insofar as we are only able to make the decision for ourselves, how we enter in, how we relate, this grace is irreplaceable. It's crucial. Because if we don't receive this grace first from the Lord, we're never going to be able to give it to the people that need it. And when we don't give it to the people that need it, it's our wife, it's our children, it's the ones that we love most that suffer. And it's also we who suffer because we bind ourselves in a way that nothing people do satisfy us. Whew. Okay. It's good. It's good for us just to simply be truthful about that. And that's hard. It's a hard reality. It's a hard reality because forgiveness does not always, as I said, change the situation. Sometimes it can't. Because sometimes the situation is dependent upon the other person who may or may not decide to move forward, who may or may not decide to reconcile, who may or may not decide to stop making bad choices. Those are things that we don't control. But what you and I do control is, am I free? Am I free? Am I free by receiving the freedom of Jesus to forgive the one so that in that freedom I know how to proceed in a way that is truly charitable, in a way that truly wills the good of the other? And sometimes the good of the other is restoration of the relationship, and sometimes the good of the other is not restoration of the relationship. And I'm not going to be able to tell you what that is. The Lord will. But you and I all have relationships like that. We all have it with our family or with our friends or our coworkers or whoever it may be. The Holy Spirit inspires us to know how to bring about peace and reconciliation where that's possible. And so as we receive that, so we give.